This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Precious Lord, John the Baptist shows us that you are the holy way. Awaken within us the joy of knowing you. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and transform them in a trusting and deep love with you. Amen. Please be seated. So before I start my sermon, I just have to tell you a joke that has nothing to do with my sermon. Maybe it does, but you'll have to make the connection if it does. So the third Sunday of Advent, we always light three candles, and the third one is pink, if you didn't notice. It's traditionally pink, and that's for joy and for Mary, just like our banner joy is up there now. But do you know why the candle's pink? Mary was hoping for a girl. Just had to do it, sorry. I just had to do that. So 6 months ago maybe, I was Googling something. I was researching, and on the right-hand side of the screen, you know, all these ads were going, or stories, and you know how it is, and you kind of try to ignore them. Just like you try to ignore the headlines and the tabloids when you're going in Publix, right? So you walk like this and don't look. And well, one day, a particular news item lured me over, and it lured me because it had to do with two of my favorite movie stars, Meryl Streep and Robert Redford. The headline, you might have seen it, the headline was Meryl Streep's shock plans to marry co-star Robert Redford. So I made the mistake of clicking on it. Thank God I didn't get a virus, but I clicked on it because I really wanted to know what was going on. And it said that after all these years, they'd been in love and they were finally going to tie the knot. So I thought, no, that just can't be true. So then I went to Snopes.com. You're familiar with that? It's the, you know, authenticating website so that you can check out facts and myths and urban legends. Well, not only was it not true, but they were still happily married to their own spouses, but the founder, whose name is David Mickelson, said that this fake news story got more hits on their website than almost any other all of 2016. Do you believe that? I guess I have to believe it because I was one of those people, but I'm not proud of that. Fake news stories have become a thing, if you haven't noticed, over the last especially 6 months. And unfortunately, some of them have involved real people and real danger, and people are getting hurt because of it, when what we really want is the truth. Well, I got to thinking about this when I was praying with today's gospel, because John the Baptist in our gospel today is doing his own fact-checking about Jesus. And it might not make sense to you because John the Baptist is the one, if you recall from some of our past gospels, he's the one out in the wilderness baptizing and declaring that he's not the Messiah, but the one coming after him is going to be the one that's going to baptize with water and the Holy Spirit, right? And he was always pointing to Jesus as the Messiah, always pointing. And now he's questioning it. He's wondering. He says, you know, go to him and ask him, who are you? Are you the one that is to come, or do we wait for another? And notice it's that weird tense, are you the one who is to come, which reminds us that the Messiah is this supernatural God incarnate that is coming to us all the time. So what gives? What happened within him that he has to check this out? Prison happened. John the Baptist wrote this from prison. Prison can do amazing things to people, turn them inside out and upside down. And John the Baptist was about to face a sure execution. He had dared to speak truth to power. He had told King Herod that he should not be married to his brother's wife. You heard me right. King Herod didn't like that, so he threw him into prison for telling the truth. And that's what John was facing. And he would soon be beheaded shortly after that. So he sends the messengers to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is coming, or do we wait for another?" And we don't know how long he had been in jail, but we can picture him in a cell, pacing and wondering what was going on, and what was he had been hearing all of these teachings that Jesus had been doing, and maybe he wanted to be sure that his own life had stood for truth. He had spent a good part of his life pointing to Jesus. They were cousins. They grew up together. So Jesus' answer would have been the perfect fact check, because John the Baptist would have known the scripture that he was quoting in his response. They both grew up with the Hebrew scriptures. This referred to the same scripture that Jesus quoted when he first came into ministry. And John would have recognized that. He said, "The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, the poor receive good news." He's saying to John, "Don't take anybody else's word for it. Come straight to me. And I can't answer the question for you, who is Jesus, nor can it be answered for us. We have to figure it out on our own. Who do you say I am?" He's saying to John and to us, "Who do you say that Jesus is in your own life?" And nobody can answer that for you. Do your own fact checks. This walk in faith is an inside job. Today, on this third Sunday of Advent, we have this gospel to remind us of this constant coming of Jesus and the joy of that realization when we have the courage to live that way, really live that way. And then what comes is what this Advent candle stands for: hope, peace, joy, and love. And we see it expressed right now. We might be lured away by the negative news stories or all the awful things that are going on in the world, but Christ would have us focus on Christ, on this love in the world made manifest. And some of the deepest, deepest moments in our lives, we know, are rooted in Christ. I would like to give you several examples that I know about just from this week. Just from this week, I was at a dinner party last night with some people from Leisureville who are in a group called the Caring Neighbors. They take people transportation for appointments to doctor's offices and to the grocery store. They help them out when they're sick. There's somebody that they can call when they're in need. That is Christ in action. A good friend of mine has finally just begun to start her own private practice as a social worker. She is deeply rooted in faith, and now is finally opening up her own practice after years and years and years of study and preparation. God is blessing that. Another woman I know just found out that she's going to be able to open up her private practice in a specialized physical therapy. And they were able, miraculously, to rent a space that they'll have in April for half the price, because they couldn't have afforded it the other way. Deep in prayer they've been for this manifestation. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock at St. Benedict's in Pompano, we have a new sound system we're getting used to. Thank you for your patience. Tomorrow at St. Benedict's in Pompano, we are going to be gathering around giving comfort to a family who has lost a young man in a tragic death. The age of 25, Brandon Deshaies, Chantal Deshaies' brother, our lead singer in Unplugged. Please surround her in prayer. That is Christ in action. And finally, just this week, a young man who just was released from prison after serving under 3 years, just barely under 3 years, told me, and I quote, "I never doubted God in prison. I couldn't. The Lord was the only constant in my life. I was alone, always having to be uptight and on guard. I couldn't help but look at myself and realize God was my only stability. I had family, but this was something from the inside I just knew. I felt it. I didn't know myself before then. End quote. Jesus comes to all of us in and through the power of the Holy Spirit and says, are you lame? Do you feel like you can't walk some days, that it's hard to carry on? I cannot walk for you, but I can walk with you. I can help you, and I am the way. Follow me. Blind, can you not see yourself for the gift you are sometimes and for how much you are loved? Sometimes do you feel deaf to that information coming through? Christ comes to us and says, I can't make you know that, but I believe that about you. I am the truth. Look to me. Alone, especially this time of the year, maybe feeling unworthy. Christ says, I cannot make you turn to me, and I can renew you, transform your very soul when you surrender to love in the midst of whatever prison you may find yourself. I am the life. Even John the Baptist now has to reorganize his whole inner being because he was so used to pointing to Christ, and now he was going to have to also be the follower of the holy way. We all, I can talk the talk and talk the talk and show up every Sunday and go through the motions, but if I'm not walking the walk, I'm a hypocrite. We have to be willing to take it outside these walls and do the work of Christ. And not only that, but to notice it and to talk about it instead of getting lured into the negativity and all the awful, awful things. And it's not that we have to have our head in the sand, but we've got to be able to stand up for what's right and just and true and good and hopeful. Because the God of my understanding, the God of our understanding, is like that and more powerful than any force on earth. Faith grows within us. And I invite you to realize this pregnant time of Advent as a reminder to be still and know that God is God. Ask to be shown the mercy of Christ for yourself again and again and again, like we have to do. And Christ will come again and again and again. And we realize God with us, Emmanuel. That's what Emmanuel means, with us. And then we give birth to that joy for others and doing for others in a way that is so much greater than we could ever ask or imagine. Amen.